Hi.
Hi. So you know how I've been teaching a world religions class, right?
Yeah, which you still have to send me the notes for.
Oh, see, here's the thing.
Listen, bitch. You promised.
I will figure something out.
I want my own private lessons.
I'll do that. I'd much rather do that than send my notes. Anyway, so today's class was super fun. We talked about Taoism
Oh, nice.
and so I had like a co-teacher for this one. We'll call him Piano Man.
Okay.
You know who Piano Man is.
Yeah.
So anyway, because like he for a super long time has been into the I Ching. Are you familiar?
No.
So it is the scripture, one of the scriptures of Taoism, but it's older than Taoism. It was like
Okay.
written before the religion actually like formed, and they just kind of were like that. We like that. And it is like an oracle.
Okay.
And so basically there's lots of different methods, but the method we used is you like flip a bunch of coins, and there's like one of 64 possible fortunes it can correlate with.
Huh.
And then you get your fortune, and it's either like stable, which means like you are not experiencing flux or change. Everything you're doing, just keep on doing it. Or it can be like two part, and it's like, here's where you are. This season's coming to an end. Here's how you get to the future that like the universe wants you to be in. So I'm along for the ride. I'm having a great time. And I know, listen. I know all about the P.T. Barnum effect. I know a sucker is born every single day. I know, like they, I know, how, but like, it just was like weirdly applicable. So,
Yeah.
the first one, the like, this is where you're at. We can close the book on this chapter. Was like, I swear to God, Paige, you are in a time of a lot of conflict. There are people with hidden agendas. Your job is to like let go of any hostility. You've done as much as you could to resolve
I have
things.
no idea what you could po this could
So
possibly be referring
listen,
to.
it was like all this shit of like times have been really tough, and like your only job is to just kind of let it go and move along. And then the like future one was like, listen, bitch, stay home, focus on your family, be unbothered, just like lean in to the people who you know love you,
I
and
feel
like
like that's
that's
just really
it.
solid
It
advice all
was
around.
true, but I was just like, it was just such this like confirmation of like all the shit that's been shitting all over the place.
Let
Let it
that shit
go.
go.
It's gone on the breeze with
The
the
derecho took
wind.
it.
The derecho fucking took it far, far away.
It took all of our power, but it took away
Yeah.
your
Yes.
problems too.
You know what? Sometimes there's a trade-off. And like just stay my ass at home with Game Boy and Pop-Tart, do my
And
laundry.
occasionally me watch eating ice
Absolutely.
cream and watching spooky movies
Absolutely.
when we
You
have power.
you're in the circle
Oh,
now. You've
sweet.
made it into the circle
Hell
of
yeah.
people that I s am still allowing to be blessed by my presence and energy. And like I have felt so much lighter today. I've just been like driving around, and like I found myself singing to myself, which I used to do all the time. And this year, I just have been kind of down, and like I'm singing to myself again. I'm having a good time. I just
Hell
so
yeah.
thank you, Taoism.
Hell
Thank
yeah.
you to the I Ching. Thank you to Piano Man, who is too old and doesn't know how to use streaming platforms, so he will
We'll never hear
never
this.
hear this. But thanks.
Grumpy really is has a special interest in Taoism too, just because of his interest in the martial arts and stuff like that.
It's really, especially like Tai Chi and Qigong, it's
Yep.
part of the religion. I came to the conclusion this week that like Jesus, the historical person, like looks more like a Taoist than a Christian.
I
In terms
mean,
of what Christianity has become, like
yeah.
far more similar to like, and there are some people that like there are scholars that theorize that in the missing, from like the age of 12 to 30 something, that Jesus traveled east and like learned some of that shit, because it's roughly maybe contemporaneous. I don't fucking know. There's no way to prove it.
Right.
It's interesting that there are some similarities. Like, there is some overlap between what Jesus is saying and what the Buddha was teaching. And I don't know. It could just be that, like, what's real is real and what's honest is honest.
Right.
And,
like, truth is truth, no matter where you find it.
Yeah.
All right. So, today's episode is about a book that made me really freaking mad. I hated this book so much.
Love it. I'm so excited.
So, here we go. Imagine moving to a new town, a child on the way. Life is exciting.
Okay.
You go on a baby moon, only to begin having terrible, uncontrollable thoughts of harming yourself.
Oh, God, great.
You end your vacation early and go home, only to learn that this town you have moved to is cursed.
Okay.
Now that you live here, you can never leave, or you will begin to have these terrifying thoughts. Why? A woman accused of being a witch in the 17th century was murdered and has been haunting the town ever since.
I mean, I don't hate it yet.
She walks around, eyes and mouth sewn shut. She appears in houses unannounced. She's mostly harmless, unless you listen to her whispers. Then the thoughts of harming yourself will return. Sounds like the setup to a really awesome, scary horror story, right?
It really does.
Wrong.
Oh, shit.
Today we are going to talk about Hex by Thomas Old Quayvolt.
Fuck you, Tom.
Hell yeah. It is a book that was adapted from its original Dutch.
Dutch,
yeah,
of course.
It used to be Dutch, but not anymore. This book had so much potential to be terrifying, but ended up being boring at best.
Ugh.
And just completely insane at worst.
How did it do both of those things?
Before I get too worked up about it.
Okay.
Let's get lit.
Oh, fuck.
Am I touching
your
toes
did
again?
Listen, we cannot talk about our toes touching in every episode, or else we'll get, like, the algorithm will, like, give us to those people. You know what I mean? Like, we can't become foot fetish content.
Hey, listen, if they join our Patreon, I don't care.
No, you have a good... I'm just worried that we'll push away people. Like, for example, my husband, who, like, wishes that feet didn't exist. Super.
Tell your husband to suck it up. Suck it up, Game Boy.
Okay, I'll try that. You know what? I don't have to. He will hear this.
Yep. Anyway, okay. So, our story takes place in Black Spring, New York. Black Spring is cursed by Catherine Van Wyler, the witch, which I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So, let me explain how this town has become cursed.
Okay.
Catherine lived in the 1600s with her son and her daughter. She had no husband. Her son dies, but a few days later, people see him alive again.
Pet cemetery, got it.
They think Catherine is a witch and force her to choose between killing her son or the townspeople will essentially kill her whole family.
Oh, well, what fucking kind of a choice is that?
Yes.
One of you die or all of you?
Yes.
Okay.
So she kills her son, hoping to save her and her daughter, but the townspeople take Catherine and kill her anyway.
Cool.
After this, the entire town becomes cursed. Because of this curse, the town operates under what is called the emergency decree. No one is allowed to talk about the curse to outsiders. Internet and phone usage is heavily restricted and tracked. But most importantly, the entire town is monitored by high-tech surveillance systems run by an organization called Hex.
I don't like that. I don't like that it's like an internet curse thing.
Don't want anyone to know about
this.
No,
I get it, but like I don't like, and this is me, for the most part, I don't like my like tech leaning sci-fi shit. I don't like it to touch the horror food on my plate. Like I don't like it when those genres touch tips. Especially when it's like folk horror. This should be, I don't know, I don't like it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I don't
understand.
Like
Hex is run by Robert Grimm, a man who has lived in Black Spring his whole life. The main story follows Steve and Jocelyn Grant, the couple that experienced all those things in my intro, and their two sons, Tyler and Matt. Tyler is an aspiring vlogger and is secretly filming events around the town and posting them to a site. This book came out in...
There's something about the term aspiring vlogger that just absolutely fucking offends me.
This book, the English version of this book was published in, like, 2013.
Still.
And the original one, I want to say, like, 2008.
I mean, aspiring vlogger. Like,
He's aspiring to be a famous vlogger.
I guess.
I don't know what else you... How God else would bless. You like me to phrase that?
No, it's not you. It's just there's just something about that person that's like...
It's very lame. He's a very lame person.
Okay, no, we're good.
Anyway. So he is secretly filming events around the town, posting them to a site he has created called Open Your Eyes. Why is Tyler doing this? Well, he wants to tell his girlfriend about what's going on in the town. He wants to go to college. He wants regular internet access. He hopes that maybe someone will have a solution if they just tell the outside world. As part of this project, Tyler and some of his friends have begun conducting experiments on the witch.
Okay.
Their first experiment involves moving a lamppost into her normal walking path to disrupt her pattern. Experiment number two involves recording Catherine's whispers and having someone outside the town listen to them. This outsider, unlike the residents, is not affected by Catherine's whispers.
Interesting. So wait, I'm backing up a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
So the
there's
witch,
a lot in this book. So
the witch has like a walking circuit that she does every day.
She has a walking circuit, but sometimes she also pops up into people's houses.
Okay, so and she is opaque, translucent. Like, how do they can't see her at all? They just hear like what?
No, they can see her.
So she's just
totally
like,
corporeal.
Just looks like a regular person.
Oh, I mean, she's super old and gross looking and is from the 1600s
but like
and
if
is
you...
still wearing the same clothes. It's like, she's like emaciated.
Okay, but she doesn't look like a ghost. She looks fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Okay, continue.
Mm-hmm, I will.
I'm sorry, that's just, I was imagining like a ghost witch.
Nope. Fully
she's
corporeal.
She just, like, came back out of the grave at some point?
I don't know.
They don't... Okay. See,
I can't remember if they explain it or not. There's, like, a whole section where they tell these new people who have moved to the town what happened. Because they allow people to still move into this town.
Yeah, see, that's... I mean, I guess if you want to keep the gene pool diverse, you gotta let new people in.
Just let them all die. And then the curse will be done.
They really should just be like, you know what, everybody? We're not, no unprotected set. We're not making more
like,
people. We're not bringing
all
in more
the
people.
Women have to have their tubes removed. All the men have to have vasectomies and no more children.
Like,
and we're just going to take this to our graves.
Yeah. Like, sorry. Sorry for, like, the generation of young people this screws over, but.
Oh, well.
It is what it is.
Anyway. So that's why Tyler's like, hey, can we maybe come up with a better solution for this? Anyway, so the project starts to go awry when one of the boys, Jaden, begins to perform crueler tests on Catherine.
Good.
Catherine shows up at one of the boys' houses, and Jaden goes over and, like, rips open her dress and stabs her boobs.
I knew it was going to be fuckity like that.
Yeah. Then he sicks Tyler's dog on her.
So he's just a serial killer in the making.
Yeah. So he blames Catherine for the death of his father and for an attack on his mother, Griselda, who is, like, religiously devoted to Catherine. Like, this woman is, like, constantly, like, giving offerings to Catherine and stuff. That's... I'm not going to get too much into Griselda's storyline because it's just too much. There's
That's
too
a
many things
strategy.
Happening in this book.
That's a strategy.
But,
Okay.
So, Tyler's mental health begins to decline rapidly. He thinks he's seeing and hearing his dog in the woods. He feels depressed and withdrawn. Then he finds Jaden in the woods with some of the friends that are in this group. And they have cornered Catherine into a ditch and begin throwing rocks at her. Okay. Tyler gets footage of this on his GoPro and goes and tells his dad everything that has been happening. He decides he's got to tell a grown-up.
The grown-ups don't... So they know about the curse, they don't know about the kids.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. So Tyler tells his dad everything, and he deletes the Open Your Eyes website, he deletes all the content from the experiments, except for, the recording he has of Catherine's whispers.
Okay.
Not really sure why, it doesn't really, like, explain it too much. He was just kind of like, maybe I should keep this, and it's like, okay, well, that's just for plot, but okay. So Steve goes and tells Robert Grimm about everything, and the boys who attacked the witch are put on trial for what they did.
Okay.
After, like, an insane public trial, the boys are sentenced to a public whipping in the town square.
Amazing.
And then they are sent to a place called Doodletown, which is a prison.
No, Doodletown, no.
It's a prison outside of Black Spring. So basically, they lock them in here, and they begin to experience these suicidal thoughts.
I hate Doodletown as a prison name. No,
why?
Just the juxtaposition of, like, it sounds like it should be like a kid's cartoon.
That's probably the point.
And it's this horrible place where you lose your mind. I don't like it.
So throughout the next couple of weeks, things are starting to look up. Tyler is starting to feel better, and the many strained relationships in the Grant family are beginning to kind of smooth themselves out. Until someone who we later find out is a Jaden, completely broken from his time in Doodletown, has climbed into Tyler's room and forces him to listen to the recording of Catherine's whispers, causing Tyler to hang himself.
Cool, good. How old is Tyler?
17, 18.
That's...
Yeah. Steve and Jocelyn do not find out that this has happened until they come home from a shopping trip. They find Tyler's body, as well as their younger son, Matt, who has ingested poisonous mushrooms and glued his eyes shut with construction adhesive.
What the fuck?
Matt is rushed to the hospital, and with Jocelyn, Steve stays behind at the house. They get Robert involved, but he's like, hey, we gotta keep this quiet. Then later at the Hex Quarters, Catherine also attacks Robert, but he is able to escape. Steve is now becoming increasingly unstable, and following Tyler's funeral, finds a video on his laptop that he believes is a video of their resurrected dog. This leads him to believe that Catherine can, in fact, raise the dead.
Okay.
And that if he finds her and opens her eyes and mouth, she will bring Tyler back.
Oh, okay.
So this causes a huge surge of power to come out of Catherine. It leaves the town in a blackout and intensifies the curse. Any resident who is outside of Black Springs begins to feel an intense urge to return home, including Jocelyn at the hospital with Matt. So she breaks them out of the hospital and goes back to town. Steve has run off into the woods because he's terrified.
Sure.
The town descends into panic. Griselda locks Jaden out of the house, believing the sacrifice will spare her from Catherine's wrath. When the people find Jaden, they lynch him because they believe he is the cause of all of this.
Uh-huh.
Then Catherine shows up with two children that she has taken from their home. Her eyes are open now, but the book specifically says that they are not angry, they are filled with sadness.
Okay.
In a panic, one of the Hex agents tries to shoot Catherine, but ends up shooting the kids instead.
That is so, like, that's not even a thing that I don't believe could happen.
Yeah.
That's like, that's law enforcement for you.
So, this pisses Catherine off. And she immediately infects him with a plague, and he dies.
She has plague powers?
Mm-hmm.
So she just can do whatever is good for the plot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve wakes up 3 days later, walks back to town, only to find that the town has trapped a bunch of people inside the church. Steve goes inside and finds Jocelyn and Matt. The rest of the town people set the church on fire. Steve is able to find a way to get to the vaults below the church. But instead of saving his family, he shuts Jocelyn and Matt inside the church, believing that by sacrificing them, he will be able to get Tyler back.
People gotta stop with the human sacrifices. Like,
yes.
I feel like, if anything, because, like, that's the sort of shit that was done to her in the first place, was just, like, killing her to save the town. Why do they think that would be her jam?
I don't know.
Okay.
Catherine performs a final ritual that causes all the remaining townspeople to walk out of town and drown themselves in the Hudson River. So, the book ends by fast-forwarding to Steve waking up in his house alone. He realizes he has made a mistake, sacrificing his wife and other son. He is so overcome with grief and guilt that he finds a needle and thread and begins to sew his eyes and mouth shut. As he is doing that, he sees a silhouette at the door, and there is a knock, and we do not find out who that person is. That's how the book ends.
So he's the new witch cursor?
I don't know.
That's what it seems like to me, is they're setting up that...
Yeah,
you
so...
Think it's like a classic horror trope. You think it's over, and then at the final moments...
Yeah.
The curse isn't at whatever, it's...
So this book is part of a series that follows the Robert Grimm guy. I am not going to be reading the rest of these books, but I guess... It ends up being, it's Robert at the door knocking. You find out in the next book.
He's the, remind me which one he was?
He's the guy in charge of Hex.
Okay.
I guess in the next book, because it's like the books follow him and he goes other places having these other things. And so basically the reason he's able to leave the town is because in the second book they explain, that he went to Catherine and basically was like, hey, I understand you. I'm not here to hurt you. I feel like I'm so sorry, all this stuff. And she lets him, like, leave the town.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's, I left a lot out, but that's because I was not about to sit here and draw out this summary any faster. Or any slower. Let's get my favorite moment out of the way, because there's not a whole lot I liked about this book.
Okay.
The only redeeming quality is that I did understand what the author was trying to critique. There's a lot of messaging around the danger of, like, groupthink, of being tied to tradition, even when it's detrimental.
Scapegoating.
So this is the one scene that I did like is the trial of the boys. So they take a public vote, like a show of hands,
mm-hmm.
and like the votes are split pretty evenly.
Okay.
About whether or not they're gonna like whip them in the town square. They have to then do a, like, a private, like, ballot vote where they have to count everything.
Okay.
And once it goes to this private ballot, a bunch of people switch sides.
Interesting.
And it kind of gave this, like, I guess, like, about, like, your character is who you are, like, even if you're anonymous.
Right.
And, like, how a lot of these people hid behind anonymity.
Yeah. You were pretending to be merciful.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. So, there is, the other part that I liked was at the end when Catherine comes and sees what's going on in the town, and they describe that, like, she's not angry, she just is sad. And, like, I just imagine that this woman sees all of this happening. These people are going crazy. They're lynching citizens. They're shoving people into churches, and she's like, you people haven't fucking changed a bit.
Right. You are exactly the way you were when you fucked me over. Yep.
Right. Like, it's been like 500 years, and you people have not even changed a little bit.
It's because they're Dutch?
Yeah. So, fuck those people. So, now we're going to get on to some of the things that I hated. There's a lot of things that pissed me off about this book, but we're just going to name a few. The first is the gratuitous mention of boobs and nipples just throughout the whole book in such a, like, man way.
It's such a male gaze, yep.
And it just made me, it made me so mad.
Her boobs, breasted,
these teenage
tiddly
boys were upset. Like, they were like, oh my god, I wonder what Catherine's boobs look like. I gotta see Catherine's boobs. Let's take off her dress and see what Catherine's boobs look like. And it's like, why do you...
That might be accurate.
I know, but I was just like, oh my god, shut up. So, and then, like, they rip her dress off and stab her very specifically in the boob.
But, like, that's, like, a thing. Like,
I don't care.
No, I know.
It.
It's great. Yeah, it's not supposed to be, like, endearing, but, like...
And just, like, there's, like, this
thing.
Part at the end where Steve has, like, a vision, and he very specifically, Catherine is standing on a mound of children, and he very specifically mentions that it looks like a boob with a nipple on top.
Amazing.
Like,
that's so stupid.
Like, just, like, why did that have to be nipples? And just, like, on page, sexual assault scenes. Like,
yeah.
And I'm just, like... And I think, too, it's because I have been reading quite a few books by men lately, and every fucking one of them has these scenes of just, like, we're just casually going to throw a sexual assault scene in here that doesn't have it. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, like, the thing itself.
It
just can't or shouldn't be written about, but there is a huge difference in the way, at least in my experience, that, like, cis men and everybody else handle
it
as subject matter, and it's like...
And, like, sometimes it's just like, was this necessary for the plot, or did you just think, it's just a horror book, and I think that I should write sexual assault scenes because those are horrific, and it's like, okay, well, but what is that?
Right.
Was that necessary?
How does it relate to the overall message of the book? Does it? No? Okay.
The other thing that really, really pissed me off about this book is Steve and Jocelyn, worst parents ever.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Like it.
Terrible
like it.
People. First of all, I understand that when they moved to Black Spring, Jocelyn was already pregnant. There wasn't anything that they could do. They were gonna have Tyler.
Right,
there wasn't anything they could do to stop it. But then they decide, let's have another baby?
Oh, wait, so, like, they didn't have any kids when they moved there.
No,
that's
and they
fucked.
Had Tyler once they got there. They didn't know, okay, not much they can do about it now. But then to choose to bring another child into this, knowing...
That sucks. That's not good.
No. And, like, there's, like, a whole, they, like, have, like, a whole conversation about, like, who, and I was, like, you are terrible people. This is all your fault. Then, throughout the whole book, there is, like, this dynamic where Tyler is Steve's son, and Matt is Jocelyn's son.
Mm.
And it is, like, fully, and not just like, oh yeah, you know, you click more with that one. No, it is like separated. Like, this son is your responsibility and this son is your responsibility, and we're never going to overlap and help our children. Like, fully split down the middle. And so, like, that's why, like, Steve is so emotional about Tyler dying. Is like, he's like, well, that's my son. And then he's mad at Jocelyn because your son got to live.
That's not how anything
that's
works.
That's not how that works, dude.
That's some, like, insane Jacob and Esau shit. That's, like, Yeah. That's wild. And is like, yeah. is that treated, like, does the author treat that as, like, this is a fucked up way to be, or is it just, like...
It's just there, I feel like.
I think it's because they're Dutch.
Yeah, I don't know.
they fucking...
Like, I just
I don't know, man.
And it's weird because, so he didn't just translate the book from the different language. He rewrote the book to take place in America.
Right, because you're like, a Hudson River, right? Yeah.
Like, this takes place in New York. The original book takes place.
So the same guy wrote it in both languages.
He like, wrote it, but there is a translator still.
So he had a buddy try to help with the English. Yeah,
but this person, the translator was a woman.
Listen, sometimes you need that paycheck. Sometimes you just gotta be like, yes, sir. She breasted boobily. Got it.
Yeah. And Steve specifically also made me mad because he is constantly, like, in his head, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I don't agree with what's going on in the town, but I'm not going to say anything. It's not the right time. Like, even when it's, like, these boys who are up, like, they're about to be sentenced to a public whipping and being locked in a place that's going to make them crazy. And he's like, it's not the right time. It's not the right time to speak up, you know?
So, like, when is?
I don't know. This man is a total pushover. I could not stand him. And, like, but, like, the thing, like, it's complicated because I'm not sure if we were supposed to like Steve or not. You know what I mean? Like, you know how there are, like...
Yeah.
But, like, I couldn't tell if, like, there were times where I was like, oh, yeah, we're supposed to not like Steve even though he's the protagonist. And then there was other times where I'm like, wait, no, is Steve the hero? Like, why are we trying to make Steve the hero? In the end, I think Tyler is supposed to be the hero because he's the only one who's like, hey, maybe we should fucking fix this somehow.
Right.
But then he is, like, I was so mad. I was so mad when they killed Tyler. Because I was like, Tyler didn't deserve this. He's the only person in this town who's thinking.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just like, ho-hum, we're cursed. We'll just have to deal with this crazy witch lady walking around our town. And Tyler's like, but do we?
Right.
Like, have we tried?
Can we, like, why are they, okay, first of all, why are they so concerned with keeping it a secret?
I don't know. They just, like, they don't want anyone else I can't remember. I think there might have been an explanation, but.
I could understand if the rationale is we do not want, because people will come here to check out the curse and then they won't be able to leave. But if that were true, why are they fucking letting people move there?
Right. And, like, the thing is, like, you can come and visit for the day.
Oh, it's just being there at night.
You can't, like, live there. Like, once you live there. Like, you can come into the town and then leave.
But, is it about being there overnight? That's kind of a...
I don't know, like, because they talk about how there's, like, this new couple that moves in the book, and they said that they made it sound like they couldn't leave once they had an encounter with Catherine. But, like, people are always having, like, accidental encounters when they come, and they just, like, play it off, and those people can leave. So I don't know. I feel like this curse and the rules that it abides by were not thought
out. It sounds to me like the rules just shifted for whatever was needed in the moment. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
If you're going to have, like, it's the same with, like, magic systems and stuff. Like, you have to sit down and come up with rules. You cannot just keep changing them for the sake of the plot.
Yeah. Yep.
My favorite character, I did like Tyler, but my favorite character was actually Catherine herself.
I believe it. Yeah.
Pretty much everyone else sucked. Catherine wasn't really the villain, and it was the people in the town.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know,
she is the consequence of their actions.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I was like, this poor woman was just minding her own business, taking care of her kids. Her kid died, so what if she can raise him back to life, who cares?
Yeah, like, you wouldn't.
Like,
you know,
right,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, anybody, like, would.
Anybody, yeah, would, if they had the ability to raise their dead child, would do it.
Of course.
So, like, why are we, but, You know, that's a whole thing.
This is just an infinitely worse version of Pet Sematary.
I did, because this was a book club book, and we did talk about that, because the one guy, I don't read a lot of, I've never read Stephen King, but one of the members of my book club has a working knowledge of, like, horror tropes, and he was like, there was just all of these things that I think were supposed, like, he couldn't tell if they were supposed to be callbacks, because he would just, like, put them in there, but nothing would go anywhere. Like, nothing would come of it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Pet Sematary was one of the things that he said was, like, he was like, this is very, has some similarities to Pet Sematary.
Yeah, it's like, imagine telling this story, but doing it right.
Right.
That's what Pet Sematary is.
So, the writing in this book. When I read the description for this book, I was like, oh my God.
Sounds
great.
It
sounds so freaking good. I was like, I'm going to be up at night. I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm going to be scared out of my mind.
I'm going to finally feel something for once.
Right.
Yes.
I was like, I need something to scare me shitless. Amen. And I thought, like, even the cover is like, she's like floating in the air and she's wrapped in chains. And it's like, oh my God. I was like, this is going to be so good. And then it was garbage.
Yeah. That's rough.
Like, the book, it was boring. The middle of the book took way, way too long to get to, like, the point.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know. Because there were moments where I was like, okay, I get what you're trying to say here. But you're not, you're just kind of, like, telling those things. And you're not creating a compelling story around the things that you are trying to teach. And, like, that's the thing. It's like, okay, cool. Your message was fine, but you could have put this in a tweet and I could have just read that. But you tried to write a whole book and you wrote a really bad story. And so now I don't care what you have to say.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, everyone in my book club felt the same, and so I felt very good, because I was like, okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Because sometimes I will dislike a book, and everyone else likes it, and I'm like, oh, am I just dumb? Am I just not getting it?
I had that experience of my last book club meeting, and I went in ready to, like, let's tear this trauma porn apart. Mm-hmm. And everyone else was like, I just loved it. It was so, I was like, very, but the most
was
quiet.
Was it A Little Life?
No, it was The Bright Years.
Oh, okay. Because I know, like, A Little Life is, like, very much, like, some people are like, oh my gosh, it's so emotional. And other people are like, this is literally just gay men experiencing trauma over and over and over and over again for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I will not be reading that book.
Yeah, I mean, it was, Bright Years is well written. Like, the writing was good. But yeah. It was just, like, these characters experiencing all these, like, just, like, super sad. And then, like, there's some redemption and things seem like they're going to be better. Nope. Nope. More sad shit. Just over and over till the book ended. And I was like, I'm not, first of all, I am not mentally stable enough to deal with this.
Yeah.
In this moment.
Yeah.
So.
I don't always need a happy ending, but I need there to be something. Like, the book can't just end with everyone just being at rock bottom still. Like, there has to be something.
I can deal with a really upsetting ending if, okay, for example, have you seen The Mist?
I have not.
Okay, I'm gonna spoil, it's been around for a long time. Also, the book ending and the movie ending are different. So, The Mist, Stephen King short story.
Yeah.
Frank Darabont adapts it for film, changes the ending. Stephen King is like, that's the ending I should have written. Holy shit. But basically, like,
I feel like I've heard the ending before.
So,
but go ahead.
Basically, the protagonist and a few people, like, they're trying to get away. They're trying to get away from the mist and the monsters in it. They're in a car. Car runs out of gas. They're surrounded by monsters. He decides to kill everyone and himself because there's no way out. He is a bullet short, He kills everybody else, and just when he, like, just as soon, like, including his child, just as soon as he's killed everyone, like, the fog clears and the military rolls in and help us here.
Yes, okay, yes, that, I've seen this.
That is, that ending I'm totally fucking fine with, because it's so good and such a kick in the balls that it's like...
Yes, but there's, like, if there's something to it. It's supposed to communicate something. It's supposed to make you feel something. It's not just...
Yeah. There's, like, there's hope. There's never a good time for hopelessness.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's never a good time for despair.
Yeah.
And even though it's a horrible... Like, I can't imagine being that guy.
Yeah.
It's,
No amount of therapy is going to fix that.
No.
Yes, because no. I've seen...
It's,
I think
it's
I've
been
seen,
memeified,
I've, I think I've seen the clip. And I've... Yes, yes, okay. So I've heard that before. Or even, I'm thinking... What is a book that I just read recently that I'm thinking of? Or no, it's a movie. It's a book, but it's... I saw the movie, The Cabin at the End of the World, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. Have you seen it?
I read the book. I've seen the movie and I've read the book.
Are the endings the same or are they different?
No.
Okay.
They're like...
I don't want to know the ending to
the
book,
because
I do want to read the book. But, like, just, like, the ending of that movie of, like, Jonathan Groff, because I can't remember the character's name, just, like, he's like, no, it's okay, just... And, like, anytime I hear the song, the Boogie Shoes song...
Mama, mama, mama,
I will just, like, stop, and I'm just like...
Yeah.
Like, it, like, sucker punches me again.
Yeah. That movie is 75% intensely accurate, and the last 25% is an entirely different story. Yeah. I love that book.
I need to
love
read it.
Love that book.
I didn't know it was a book when I saw the movie, or else I would have read the book first. I just, I really love M. Night Shyamalan. And that's probably an unpopular opinion. I know many people don't, but
I agree.
I love
it. I love M. Night Shyamalan. My opinion, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more once you've read the book. Mm-hmm. I think he fucked it up.
Oh, bummer.
I personally think that what also Paul Tremblay is one of my favorite authors.
I have not read any Paul Tremblay, but I've heard he's very good, and I need to. You've seen my books.
I know.
I've got too many. And
I know.
Can't keep adding them.
Yeah.
I just need to start audiobooking. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll listen to it on audiobook. Anyway.
Yeah.
Future episode.
Absolutely. And that'll be fun because, like...
Because you've read it,
too. This is one of my favorite books.
Oh, my God. We can talk about it. We can talk about it together.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Anyway. Okay. Cool. We're gonna wrap this up. Pixel, you wanna do shout out?
Yeah, but first of all, you didn't rate it. Give me a number out of 5.
Oh my God. 2 stars. So I gave the book 2 stars. It would have been a 1 star if not for the fact that there was a couple of times where I was like, okay, buddy. But 2 stars for sure.
Yeah, that actually scared me, but not enough to okay, I get it. Well, thank you to our patrons, John Red Robin Milf Hunter 69 and Bonego. You make this motherfucker possible. If you would like to join them as patrons, you can go to our Patreon, look for Page and Pixel PC. You can also find us on Instagram at that same handle. But for now,
read hard,
play hard,
and fuck this book.